Today on Real Radio.
Because the Bible tells us that if we were to see God, it would kill us. Did you know that?
I saw the Lord.
No, you didn't. Moses couldn't even see the Lord. Moses says, I want to see you. God says, you can't see me. So you know Moses, I've got to see you. I want to see you. And God says, I tell you what, okay, I can only do this, because if you see me, it'll kill you. I'm going to stuff you in the crack of this rock. Can you imagine? Shoves him in. There's a staff and a robe hanging out. The Bible says God passes by, and after God passes by, the effervescence, the residual of where God was, illuminates the atmosphere when God passes by.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are freely. Give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Revelation. We have arrived at chapter 19, and we're looking at verse 1. In fact, this entire study centers around this one verse. Why one verse only? Because it's a different kind of verse. You see, it's known as a doxology, an extremely emotion-filled outburst of recognition and praise for Almighty God and everything He is and does. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs with more in this study called Prelude to the Hallelujah Chorus.
Since Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, the church, listen, is never again seen. Now look, everyone follow with me if you would. And mark it down if you want to. We are now here. Can you see that? We are right here, Revelation 4, 1, and what we're talking about right here. The announcement is made, John, come up here. The church is never again seen or mentioned on earth. During the entire tribulation period, the church is not seen on the earth. If you look over here, you see John 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. Church in heaven above. That is important because, my friend, without a pre-tribulation rapture understanding of the Bible, you have to take this portion of John 14, 1 through 3, and mark it out of your Bible. Why? It is John 14 that fulfills Revelation 4, 1. When Jesus said, do not let your... Am I yelling? Sorry, I'm so excited about this stuff. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Four. Or because in my Father's house are many mansions, dwelling places for you to live in. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go now to prepare a place for you. Church, where did he go? That's pathetic. I'm going to ask you again, act like you know. Where did he go? Very good. I go now to prepare a place for you that where I am, where is he? There you may be also. He said, I will come and take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Revelation 4:1, the announcement is given to John. After these things, he hears this voice, and the voice says, come up here. And it's the voice of a trumpet. Fulfilling John 14, verses 1, 2, and 3, the church in heaven. Beneath now, see this, commences Revelation 5, the seven-year tribulation period or the time of judgment. This is also referred to in the Old Testament as the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob's trouble is another name for whose trouble? Israel's trouble. It is 7 years long. It covers a time period from Revelation 5 out to Revelation 18. So 4:1 up to the top, John 14, 1, 2, and 3. Back down over here, Revelation 19, 1. Church mentioned. But between Revelation 5 and Revelation 18, no church is mentioned. Who is mentioned? The tribulation saints. They are not members of the church. They are not Old Testament believers. They are referred to as tribulation saints. They must die for their faith in Jesus Christ. The church, on the other hand, is called upon to what for Jesus Christ? Live for Jesus Christ. You and I are to be witnesses by the life we live. The tribulation believers will refuse the mark of the beast, number 666. They will be persecuted to death. And all those, you know, that the Bible says, now you're an expert on this. If they do not receive the mark of the beast, the Antichrist, then they will be killed by the forces of the Antichrist. That's called the Great Tribulation period. These are the believers that comprise of Gentiles and Jewish believers, but these will have come to the Lord, the tribulation saints, during the tribulation period by virtue of the fact of the 144,000 evangelists preaching, by the converted Jews of that time preaching, and by those proclaiming the gospel. And then finally, at the end of the Great Tribulation period, just before the second coming of Christ, which we're going to study in Revelation 19, an angel flies through the midst of the atmosphere proclaiming the everlasting gospel. Do you guys remember that? It wasn't very long ago. Proclaiming the everlasting gospel. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, regarding that portion of scripture in Revelation, he says, I tell you this, this gospel shall be preached in all of the world, and then the end will come. I tell you, this excites me to no end. And so, listen, very important. Mark it in your notes. Revelation 4:1, the church is mentioned, never again mentioned, until Revelation 19. How did that happen? It's what the prophet Isaiah spoke about, by the way. I'm going to read it to you. You can jot down the scripture reference if you would. It's Isaiah 26, and I'm reading out of the Amplified Version. The Amplified Version. For your dead shall live, O Lord, together with the bodies of the saints. They shall arise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy. For your dew, O Lord, is as the dew of brilliant light. And the earth shall cast forth the dead back to life again. Come, my people, enter in your chambers and shut the doors behind you and hide yourself for a little moment until the Lord's wrath is poured out upon the earth. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish all the inhabitants of the earth for their sin. The earth shall no longer hide the blood that has been shed upon her, and the ground will no longer cover the dead, and no longer will it conceal man's guilt. That's Isaiah 26, verses 19 to 21. That's a reference to the rapture, but also the second coming of Christ. It's what Jesus spoke about, as I read a moment ago, in John 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. It's what the Apostle Paul spoke about in one of our favorite portions of the Bible, in 1 Thessalonians 4:14, where Paul said, if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, do you believe that? Even so, God will bring with those who've died in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have died in Christ. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God. Revelation 4:1. And the dead in Christ will rise. Isaiah chapter 26. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the clouds with the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Those verses all flow together in a beautiful montage. This is the hope of the believer who's living now in this age. That's why we pray, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. It's not morbid, it's not sad to desire his return. It's a good thing. The Bible tells us here in our study, as we read the first six verses, and again, we won't get into all these, just the first verse, you heard about the 24 elders. Remember that? We see in this chapter once again, and we haven't seen them in a long time, the 24 elders and the four living creatures. Do you guys remember the living creatures? As we now come to the conclusion of the book, these are radical, they're angelic beings. They're different. You know, there's rankings of angels. Some angels we read in the Bible, they appear as men on earth. You can't tell. The Bible warns us, you got to be careful because you can't tell an angel from a human when they're on earth walking around. Isn't that freaky? So treat me nicer, will you? You never know. Isn't that weird? The Bible also tells us that there's angels and they have wings. Boy, I tell you, I don't want to freak you out, but it sure is fun reading. Have you read Frank Peretti's book, Piercing the Darkness? If you can get through the first chapter, you're hooked. When those demons come flying into town, in that little town. It's a great book, great series of books. There's descriptions of angels that are very unique. Now you come to these four living creatures, and they are altogether wild. They sound ugly. They kind of sound like Godzilla with a bunch of wings on them. But they must be beautiful. There's four of them. They are forever in the presence of God. And they have six wings. They have three pairs of wings. See, that freaks me out right there. And the Bible tells us that when they come into the presence of the Lord, get a load of this. God is so holy. The Bible tells us that with one pair of wings, they veil their bodies in the presence of God. They cover their bodies. Apparently, they have to. They need to. I think personally, they have to veil their bodies to survive in the presence of God. Because the Bible tells us that if we were to see God, it would kill us. Did you know that?
I saw the Lord.
No, you didn't. Moses couldn't even see the Lord. Moses says, I want to see you. God says, you can't see me. Moses says, I want to see you. God says, you can't see me. So you know Moses, I want to see you. And God says, I tell you what, okay, I can only do this, because if you see me, it'll kill you. I'm going to stuff you in the crack of this rock. Can you imagine? Shoves him in. There's a staff and a robe hanging out. And God, the Bible says God passes by, and after God passes by, the effervescence, the residual of where God was illuminates the atmosphere when God passes by. And then the Bible says that God revealed Moses' face that he could see, and he saw where God once was. And the glory was so amazing. Listen, all you tanning bed people. He got such a sunburn from the presence of God that he had to put a bag over his face, that when he went down to the children of Israel, he didn't want them to see the glory of God departing from him. And a lot of scholars believe, many Jewish scholars believe, that Moses veiled his face also that the people would not worship Moses because he was glowing from the presence of the Lord. That's pretty cool. Man, can you imagine when we get to heaven? Yeah, it's going to be kind of cool. Kind of cool? You're going to freak out. These four angelic beings, they got two wings covering their body. They've got two wings covering their face. There's no apparent record in Scripture that even tells us that these angels have the opportunity to look upon God. Their faces are covered. Isn't that awesome? And then it says, with the last remaining wings they've got, they must fly like the Dickens because they're two sets of wings short. And they must be flying there like bees. In the presence of God. And they shout day and night. And they mean it. They don't go, holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. Okay, say it again. Holy, holy, holy Lord. Are you kidding? Forever, they're bowing down and they're flapping their wings. They're covering their bodies. They're covering their faces. And they're going, holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty. And they mean it. And it's worship in the presence of God. And in the presence of those four living creatures, there are 24 elders. Do you remember when we built this church, everybody? What's standing beneath my feet on this placard that I'm standing on? Do you remember how many Bibles? 24. 24 Bibles are beneath my feet, about 8 feet down, ensconced in that concrete pillar. Remember the prayer shawl? We put a prayer shawl in there because, I'll tell you why because in a moment. There's Bibles in there, 24 of them. There's a prayer shawl in there. And remember what you brought back from Israel? Rocks. And remember, we put stones from Israel and we put them down in the foundation of this church beneath the pulpit. Why? Because Jesus said, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. And thus we symbolize that by throwing that prayer shawl into the concrete foundation on that Saturday morning, October 5th, 2002. Says it right here beneath my shoe. Okay? The other thing was the Bibles, 24 of them. The Gideons were kind enough to grant us Bibles that have gone out to all of the world, and they were retired Bibles. There were Bibles that were worn out from hotels all around the world, and they shipped them back. We said, we want 24 of them. They sent us 24 Bibles from all over the world that have now done their job, and they were going to retire them. And we retired them right here in the foundation of this church. 24 Bibles representing the 24 elders. He said, well, who are the guys? We don't know who the guys are, but in God's order of priesthood from Old Testament, now we know to the New Testament, God's perfect order of priesthood was 24. There was always 24 priests ready to serve God. And why does that Old Testament 24 elder priesthood be significant in the New Testament? Because the Bible calls us and mentions the 24 elders in the book of Revelation, that we, the collective body of worshipers of God's people, are the priesthood of believers. That's what Peter tells us. That's what Scripture tells us, that you and I now, by faith in Jesus Christ, we are a royal priesthood built up as living stones. And so beneath our feet, the 24 Bibles signifying the 24 elders. And you say, what about the rocks? What about the rocks? We grab these rocks and we put them in the foundation that we'd always be a church based upon the word, 24 Bibles, a house that's always praying, thus the prayer shawl. But Jesus said that I tell you on Palm Sunday, remember, if I command these disciples to be quiet, I tell you these very stones will cry out. And the stones in the foundation of this church are here for our indictment, God forbid, should we ever stop worshiping. Now, if you and I live on and we die, that judgment or that indictment goes to the next generation of believers. If we are not a praying church, if we are not a Bible-based church, and if we are not a church worshiping, then we are a church in contempt. Contempt of God. And maybe, I hope not ever, but maybe those stones will cry out from the foundation of this building and say, the Lord, He is God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, the Lord, He is God. Because Jesus said, if my people shut up in worship, the stones will cry out in worship. His faithfulness. Four things. Number one, salvation. He's faithful to save us. After these things, I heard a loud voice. So I'm biblical this morning, yelling at you the way that I am. See that? Loud voice, a great multitude in heaven. You're there. You can put your initials right there. That will be me. Look at you. You're right there, verse 1. Saying, Alleluia, salvation. Praise be to God, salvation. We are to worship Him and sing our hallelujahs because He promised salvation, He performed it, and He's provided it. This word salvation, mark it down, it means the rescuing, the delivering, the saving, the taking of us. God saved us. We will be in heaven. Church, listen. We will be in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation. Now, how many of you are Christians? Raise your hand. Okay, put your hand down. On the count of three, say, hallelujah, salvation. Get ready. We're going to practice. One, two, three. Hallelujah, salvation. You got to get used to that. You got to get used to that. We're going to be doing that. Hallelujah, salvation. It's going to happen. You say, Pastor, then don't be there. Just be in hell. Now wait a minute. Heaven's for people who worship the Lord. You want to worship? No. Then don't go. You wouldn't be happy there. All these people are worshiping God. Look at them singing and lifting their hands. then don't be there. But I don't know about you. Christians worship their God. Number one reason, salvation. Man, number one reason, God saved us. Saved us from what? From sin, from hell, from death. I mean, we may die, but we don't die for long. You know, I don't know Terry's Saivo. I don't know where she was with Jesus. I don't know. I just don't know. And that was a terrible process. But I got news for you right now. If Terry's with Jesus, she could care less. Right now, the debate will rage on till the Lord comes back. You know what? She's happy as can be if she's with Jesus. The Pope died this weekend. Oh, listen. How does someone get to heaven was the question on MSNBC. How does one get to heaven? And the answer was by being like the Pope. That's the answer given. Well, let me tell you this. And can you guys have a car waiting for me right now in a moment? Jesus said to a man who had a greater status at the time, Nicodemus, the ruler of Israel in the religious community of Israel, the land of the Bible, Jesus said to him, unless you're born again, you will not see heaven. If John Paul was born again, he's rejoicing with the angels. If John Paul was born again, he's in the presence of God. Listen, if he's not born again, that's not a good thing. You say, well, how can you say such a thing? I'm quoting you Bible right now. Jesus says nobody gets to heaven but by being born again. That's not a club, and it's not an option. You go there by giving your heart to Jesus Christ, the Jesus of the Bible, and trusting him completely for your salvation by faith, plus no works of righteousness. And so this guy on MSNBC says, well, the way you enter heaven is by living like the Pope. That is not how you get to heaven. That's why there's going to be a bunch of wonderful people, and there's going to be a loser like me in heaven. Right alongside you wonderful people saying, hallelujah, salvation. Because you know what? Heaven was given to us because Christ purchased it and provided it freely. The Bible says nobody gets to heaven by being good, by being righteous. Nobody. And so are you born again? Have you bowed your knee and said, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me personally, and there's nothing more that needs to be?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study called Prelude to the Hallelujah Chorus, it's an in-depth look at just one verse, Revelation 19:1. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us. Meanwhile, you can hear this broadcast once again, or any recent past broadcast of Real Radio for that matter. Just visit us at www.realradioactive.org. You can listen to it again, or download it to hear it at some other time that's more convenient for you. In fact, you can become a podcast subscriber, and there's no charge for any of this. Realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. And if you've been enjoying Real Radio, remember that you can make a tax-deductible contribution to our radio fund. You may do so online, call us, or send in your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue on the air reaching people for Christ because of your contributions. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.